If you will, Mark, put your finger in Ephesians 4. And we'll come back to that chapter in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 4. In John chapter 11, it tells us about Jesus being called by Mary and Martha because her brother and Jesus' friend Lazarus was very sick. And even though Jesus was the great physician and he could have healed Lazarus, the Bible says that Jesus waited until Lazarus died before going to Bethany. And when he reached the town of his friends, both sisters approached Jesus with a comment in verse 32, "If only you had been here, our brother would not have died." But there was more to this death than either sister knew. When Jesus looked at this grieving family and Lazarus' friends, the Bible says that Jesus was deeply moved and grieved in the spirit. And then he asked Mary and Martha, "Where have you laid him?" And they took Jesus to the tomb, and it was there that Jesus wept. In verse 38, the Bible says, "Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, came to the grave. And it was a cave with a stone across it." Jesus, at this point, he asked that the stone be moved. And Martha tried to reason with Jesus because Lazarus had been in there 4 days. And she basically told him the smell was going to be horrific. But Jesus had other plans. It took away the stone, and Jesus prayed. And then in a loud voice, Jesus said, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus, he came out, but his hands and his feet were still bound in the grave clothes. And his face was also bound with a napkin. And in verse 44, Jesus said, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." The reason that Lazarus no longer needed to be bound in grave clothes was that he no longer belonged to the dominion of death. And this is exactly Paul's argument in Ephesians chapter 4. You know, I know, and we've all used it very much, where Paul told Timothy to study to show thyself approved. But the Bible was written to be obeyed and not simply studied. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 4, he was basically saying, here is what Christ has done for you. Now here is what you ought to do for Christ. As James 1 and verse 22 tells us, we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And the fact that we have been called by Christ to live a life worthy of that calling. We are alive in Christ and we are no longer dead in our sins. And so we read in Ephesians 4 and verse 22 to put off the old self. And in verse 24, he tells us to put on the new self. In other words, we are to take off the grave clothes and put on the grace clothes. Now some may ask, why? What are grave clothes? Literally, for Lazarus, as with us, grave clothes are those things which bind us. So how do we get out of our grave clothes and into our new clothes that are filled with the grace of Christ? The first thing that we need to do is look at things differently. Now let's go through Ephesians 4. We'll start with verse 17. Paul writes this, "I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." If we want to look at this verse in another way, Paul is basically saying, listen up, because what I am sharing with you is not optional. You want to call yourself a Christian? Then understand the change. A Protestant minister by the name of Dr. Lloyd-Jones said, we have not merely been saved that we might escape hell. We have been saved in order that God may present a people which will astonish the world. Do we astonish our world with our Christianity? Or are we unnoticed? In Paul's statement, he said, you must no longer live as the Gentiles live. Now, how did the Gentiles live in that day? And how do the majority of the world population live today? You know, the one thing that Paul even had to make this statement is a sad implication that this is what the Christians at Ephesus was living like. Gentile living starts with feudal thinking. People who think without a substantial purpose. Since they don't know God, they cannot truly understand God. And for that matter, then, if they don't understand God, they really don't understand themselves, for without knowing the Creator, we cannot understand, and it's hard to know ourselves as the creation. The reason that their thinking is futile is because they live in darkness. Take a look in verse 18. Paul says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness in their hearts. You look at life in those days. We had the Greek nation, which was primarily the language being spoken in that day, and there was a lot of Greek influence, even in Roman culture. And they relied heavily on philosophies. That is where they thought human intelligence came from. In Romans 1, in verses 22 and 23, Paul said, because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Now, if you go down to verses 24, verse 26, and verse 28, Paul writes in these three verses, God gave them over. God allowed them to remain in their vain thinking. He allowed them to continue the road they were on. And if you want to think that our human wisdom is the best, God is going to let us do that. He's not going to stop us. As we sink further and further into sin, God will simply turn us over to that which our heart desires. If you go back and you look at the Genesis account of the flood in chapter 6 of Genesis, and how everything that man was doing was continually evil in the world in the sight of God. All the world, the Bible uses, was continually evil. God allowed it to happen. It's not because God hates us, but because he wants us to love him with our hearts. He wants us to have the freedom to choose. When you go into a restaurant and you look at the menu, why do you order the food that you order? Because it's what you want. It's what you desire. God gives us the same choices, maybe not on the menu, but in life's menu. We can choose what we want to consume or who we want to be. And God is not going to stand in our way. As Christians, we cannot pattern ourselves after an unsaved person. Just as Paul is trying to get the point across to the brethren in Ephesus, we have witnessed the miracle of being raised from the dead. In every way, a believer is to be completely different than the unbeliever. Therefore comes Paul's admonition, live no longer as the Gentiles. Let's take a look at our text again and take a look at the change that takes place in verses 20 and 21. Paul said, but you have not so known Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus. Nowhere else in the Bible does the phrase known Christ exist. This is the only place. And we're not talking about knowing the doctrine of Christ, but knowing Christ himself. We came to know Jesus. We came to know him, which brought us to the point of obeying the gospel. We came to have a relationship with the Creator. We know what it means to live Jesus. And this fellowship and communion with Christ is so great, it changes. It actually changes who we are. Go back before your conversion and look at the difference between you then and you now. Look at the change that's taken place. Look at the change that's taken place from the moment you were baptized to the point in life of where you're at right now. You desire the change. You were making changes. Paul said that the unsaved man is spiritually ignorant and separated from the life of God. But we now have this fellowship and communion with Christ. And it's so great that it changes who we are. The saved man is opposite to the unsaved. The saved was taught the truth in Christ. But you know, sometimes we often fail to see the need for a deeper understanding of the Bible. All too often we find ourselves not desiring to be challenged in our Bible classes, or through our lessons, or for personal reading, because we really don't know Jesus that intimately. We just scratch the surface. It seems as the older we get, sometimes we scratch a little harder and dig a little deeper, don't we? Because we've come to the realization in life that a lot of the things that used to excite us and entice us does not have that draw anymore. That we want to have a deeper understanding and a deeper relationship. And when we come to know Jesus at that level, we will change. Paul is telling the brethren, you can't live the way you had been living and have the depth of the relationship with Christ. we are living a new life. And we need to come to that realization. And we've come to know that Jesus changes everything. Our old self was destroyed. We took off those grave clothes. Just as Paul told the Romans, Christians, in Romans 12 and verse 2, being transformed by the renewing of their minds, we are a new creation. We have been spiritually raised from the dead. It's been said that conversion is a crisis that leads to a process. And as we understand the truth of God presented to us through the Bible, we begin to change. By degrees, slowly at first. But have you ever taken, I don't know about y'all down here, you don't get enough snow to make a really big snowball. But growing up, I lived in an area of Maryland that had rolling hills. You could always find a hill somewhere. And you would take a snowball and you would pack it and then you would roll it downhill. And it gets bigger. It snowballs. That's the Christian life. We start off as a small snowball, and as we're rolling down the hill of life, we continue to grow because we follow Christ. We change. And each day it is a change. And the end result is that our new self is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There is going to be an awful lot of people who are going to refuse the change. I guess it's human nature that people don't like to face themselves and admit there's a need for change. And yet there are things that are wrong in our lives that require us to change. And we have to face them. Tonight, are you ready to take off the grave clothes and put on the grace clothes of Christ? Through repentance and confession and through baptism, you can remove the stench of sin. And God Himself will add you to His church. You will change from the grave clothes to the grace clothes. Have you been changed if you are a Christian? Have you stopped living in the world and started living like Jesus Christ, the one that you've come to know and to love? If there is anyone here this evening who has a need, and we pray that you will come as together we stand and sing our song of invitation.